Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Oh, well, happy new.
Very well, thank you. It is actually very curious as to why there have been concessions for the taxi industry, but not for the hotel industry. And I'm not sure that it's wrong, I have to say.
Which is wrong?
That there haven't been. You know, I don't think that taxis are covered by force majeure, but hotels certainly are.
Too true. I think what we've, more than anything, we've reached a point of such little trust in the government, and it was exemplified. I was chatting to my bike, the lady who does Pilates with me, and she said, and she's not, you know, hugely political, that she just actually can't watch an address by Cyril Ramaphosa anymore. And I think most of the people I know feel that way, because you have this sort, this presence that comes onto television and spends a long time telling you about problems you already know and knew last time and the time before. And he tells you how it must be treated and what actions you must take, as he has before. And then very quickly at the end, he says that alcohol will be forbidden from now. You know, while taxis may operate 100% full at local, you know, locally, and 70% over borders, and people, 50 people may attend a church service, et cetera, et cetera. We've got a tourism industry that is dying on its feet. And the tragedy of the tourism industry is that it's the one industry that could show real growth. But more than that, it's the one industry that could really employ large numbers of people who are semi-skilled and unskilled.
All right. So can I just ask you something? Like, Sarah, with the tourism industry, you know, if you look at insurance policies, right, you've got a section called business interruption. If your business is related in any way to the tourism industry, you are covered for pandemics. So how is it that the tourism industry is dying?
Because they, like a lot of industries, they have to, things have dragged on for just way too long. And I do not believe, and I may be wrong, but I'm not an expert on this at all, that although that provision may exist, in the insurance policies of some of the bigger hotels, I very much doubt that it's going to, that a lot of the smaller entities, the Airbnbs and the small guest houses would have insurance of that nature. I may be wrong. But certainly whatever situation they're on, if they don't operate, even if they're waiting for a payout of some sort, if they don't operate, they have to let staff go. And, you know, if you look at an average, I mean, restaurants are allowed to operate, but now in fact they're not allowed, they can't really operate because A, their alcohol, they were not allowed to sell, alcohol, which is always a large part of many restaurants' business. And now we have a curfew reimposed, which kicks in at 9 o'clock. So restaurant staff would probably have to disappear by about 7. So, you know, how's anyone going to make a living out of that? I don't think people are going to go to restaurants very much. But the taxis, where you have very close quarters, they say that, I read an item that says it takes about 20 minutes in a taxi, with or without a mask, to catch COVID if you're going to catch it. And apparently one of the biggest gathering sites of COVID infection are churches. And it seems to me that what we're dealing with here is a government who understands key constituencies but doesn't understand how businesses work. And the fact that businesses cannot turn on and turn off just like that. And of course the problem with the very immediate action of the alcohol situation is that it puts a very sudden brake on the ability of industries that deal with alcohol, such as the wine industry, etc., to transport their goods away from our shores. And I think this is largely just a symptom of a government that is, doesn't have control, can't control the surge in any way. The hospitals are nowhere near sufficiently geared up for it. I mean, the Eastern Cape is a disaster beyond comprehension. And of course, the one thing about the ban on alcohol is it very quickly helps to keep control of our very normal, though unfortunately dangerous, social conditions. So,
do you think it controls? I mean, if I look at gender-based violence, if you look at crime statistics, over 80% of crime statistics are linked to alcohol consumption.
That's right. That's what
as well
I mean.
As deaths and on the road and all of that.
Yeah,
so.
No, absolutely. So I understand that from a social and a cost point of view. The problem is that these are the social issues that we have lived with for decades, and they've never really been properly addressed. They've been talked about and talked about and talked about and talked. So they essentially using this opportunity. And the interesting thing is a colleague of mine, Ivo Fechter, wrote a piece in our Daily Friend this week where he did an analysis, and he's good at this mathematical analysis stuff, saying that the number of cases of alcohol-related trauma coming into hospitals is very, very small. I can't give you more than that. I haven't got it in front of me, unfortunately. But essentially, I think what the government expects is that we will take what they say, and I'm not sure we trust them enough to have good reasons, since they haven't explained their reasons.
Exactly. They haven't explained how they've come to that decision. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, often it's a moral decision. You know,
well,
do you sacrifice the life of, you know, of 8 women in 1 week in order so that people can have... You know, that we can make glass bottles for the alcohol industry.
Well, you see, that's a problem. I mean, you're comparing apples with oranges.
Yeah.
You're looking, it's the ultimate nightmare. The problem is, of course, is that which has the greater ratchet effect. So that's the best you can do is look at the effect down the line, and then try and weigh it up. It's not enviable, but I mean, I gather that if the government were tomorrow, were to implement all the policies it needs to do to get this country running properly, it would take us 3 years to get to the point we were at the beginning of March this year.